On this past Saturday, I attended the ordination of Michael Goldsmith at the Church of the Resurrection in Rainbow City. The sky was gray and foreboding, but everything else about the morning was upbeat and joyful. When someone is ordained a priest, it is a joyful celebration, the culmination of much work and anticipation, along with some fear and anxiety. It's a long road to become a priest. And when you come to the moment of ordination, you make some crazy promises and take on some heavy vows, not the least of which is the promise to pattern your life and that of your family in accordance with the teachings of Christ, so that you may be a wholesome example to your people. That one was especially nerve-wracking for me, because when I was ordained to the priesthood, I was the mother of two young teenagers, and also because I'm blatantly human and make more than my share of mistakes. I imagine that Michael had some uncertainty as he took on those vows to love and serve the people God has given him, and to live his life and model his family in ways that are in accordance with the teachings of Christ. But he made the overt promises to do everything in his power to follow God's lead. He answered the call that God had given to him on his life. And from this day on, he will be preaching on Christmas Eve and celebrating the birth of our Lord with the Eucharist. Never again will Christmas Eve be a cozy family time in front of a fire, telling stories or singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I'm sure that for Michael, like I, it would be no other way. There's no more appropriate setting to ushering in the Lord than here in the beauty and wonder of the late night Christmas Eve service, where the family of the newborn Lord gathers in awe and wonder. As I left that ordination and headed to Pell City to visit my mom, I turned on NPR on Sirius Radio and listened expectantly for what I would find on a Saturday afternoon. Studio 360 was nearing the end of its broadcast, and Kurt Anderson, the host of the show, which highlights what's happening in pop culture, promised a surprise Christmas song written and sung by Tim Minchin. If you aren't familiar with Tim Minchin, he's a British-born Australian artist who wrote Matilda the Musical. This Christmas song was composed for his infant donor. As I listened with great anticipation, what I heard was the most depressing supposed Christmas song I've ever heard. I won't share the whole of the lyrics with you, but I will share with you the first verse of this Christmas song titled White Wine in the Sun. I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it. I'm hardly religious. I'd rather break bread with Dawkins than Desmond Tutu, to be honest. And yes, I have all the usual objections to consumerism and commercialization of an ancient religion, to the westernization of a dead Palestinian press ganged into selling PlayStations and beer. But I still really like it, and I'm looking forward to Christmas. Though I'm not expecting a visit from Jesus, I'll be seeing my dad, my brother, my sisters, my gran, and my mom. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. And yes, we're all tired of the consumerism and commercialization of an ancient religion. But the fact remains that Christmas is not about getting to visit with family. Visiting with family is a nice byproduct of Christmas. The focus on family at Christmas time begins with a family in focus, the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph and this child, God made man. Emmanuel, God with us. So while I appreciate that Tim mentioned looks forward to seeing his family and being with them this time of year, he can't have Christmas. Christ Mass, the celebration of the birth of our Lord, is specific to Christianity, that ancient religion. And the celebration of God's love manifested in this small, vulnerable infant is why I hope that we are all here in the middle of the night, on this night that is so cold, when it would be much more practical and rational to be at home in front of a fire or snuggled warmly in our beds. Each year on this night, we gather the family of Christ around the world to hear our Christmas story and sing our Christmas songs. We hear of the young woman and her husband traveling to Bethlehem because of the required census. We hear that the child was born in a stable, a place in a feeding trough for animals, because no one would take them in. We hear of shepherds who quake and angels who always greet people with the words, "Do not be afraid." This story is filled with awe and wonder, with that which cannot be proven and that which transcends our own experience. This story is cosmic and filled with mystery and wonder and holy truth. A truth that grabs us and rings true for us in ways that we cannot define for pop culture. The angels proclaimed the good news to the lowest of society, shepherds. Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And all the cosmos, the heaven and earth and beyond, rejoice in saying, because something new and wonderful had begun, a new and wonderful thing that continues to this day, the love of God born in the world. And so we are gathered here in the glow of the light and the darkness to sing the words of hope and awe, words of wonder and amazement, because we know that Christmas is more than the joy we experience gathering with our families. We know that Christmas is a celebration of a love beyond our imagining, born into the world, a world in deep need of this love. And so we sing words like those written by Father Philip Brooks. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. As all of Bethlehem slept in the dark of the night, a night not unlike tonight, the world was changed as God came to be born in that world to show us how to live in love. We believe that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in this tiny baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Seeing family and being with those we love is a wonderful way to share the love that we have been given at Christmas. That is what we are to do all year round as a response to God's self-emptying love for us. The reason that Tim mentions Christmas song misses the mark is not the sentimentalism of spending time with family, but the fact that he doesn't know the reason. He's missing the best part. The love of God. Love so strong and so pure that it came in the form of a helpless child. One who is totally dependent on us. It's our job to keep this love alive. To care for and nurture the love born on Christmas. And to spread it to everyone we encounter. Everyone. Especially those who haven't experienced the unconditional love of God in Christ. Thanks be to God for his gift of himself to our world. Let us share his love today and always. Amen.